I just really just show up like being me. And if people don't like it, that's fine. Like, I'm not trying to be liked by everybody. I'm trying to be as effective as I possibly can.
Hey everyone, Emily Abadi here. You are listening to episode 300 of Hurdle, a wellness-focused podcast where I talk to inspirational people about everything from their highest highs and toughest moments to essential tips on how to live a healthier, happier, more motivated life. We all go through our fair share of hurdles. My goal through these discussions is to empower you to better navigate yours and move with intention so that you can stride toward your own big potential. And of course, have some fun along the way. For today's episode, I am chatting with Alyssa Nacken. She's the first ever female coach in the MLB, currently with the San Francisco Giants. She was also the first ever pregnant coach, having her first baby girl, Austin, back in January. She talks about what that journey was like, how it felt to be coaching at the team's home opener just over 2 months later on April 5th, and what it's like to be a game changer, proving that no matter where you are on your journey as women, that you belong. I love that. I love it so much. Alyssa is truly paving a new path forward for women coaches, and she continues to strive for more. We chat about how she's doing that with special new initiatives within the Giants that make impact well beyond San Francisco. Plus, what it's like to be the only lady in the dugout where, yes, she has pumped before. How she's handled criticism in the past from MLB fans, especially when she was first appointed to this role, and how she flourishes in chaos. Of note, this interview was facilitated through her partnership with Nike, and I found this really interesting in a press release they passed along. They recently released a new bra. It's called the Nike Maternity Swoosh Bra. It's their first wearable bra with pump compatibility, which has nursing clips to drop down each side of the bra individually, lining on the cups for leak protection. And I love this, it's adaptable, which means that you can tweak the size of the bra throughout the whole period after giving birth, which means that when your breasts, candidly, are changing sizes, you don't have to keep buying new options. Yeah, I just thought that this was cool. I'm gonna link it in the show notes so you can check it out. I'm not personally in this phase of my life right now, but I know that many of you are, and always trying to help. Of course, if you like what you're listening to, make sure to tag us over on social. The pages are at Hurdle Podcast, and also I am at Emily Abadi. Thank you so much for all of the love on the kickstart of season 17. We've got some really great things, great voices, great people, great giveaways, so much goodness coming down the pipe. And I feel honored to share it with each and every one of you. With that, let's get to it. Let's get to hurdling. Today, I am sitting down with Alyssa Nacken. She's the assistant coach over at the San Francisco Giants. How are we doing, Alyssa?
I am so good. Very happy to be here. Such an honor. So thank you.
Oh, such an honor. I'm the one who's honored. You have absolutely nothing going on, which I said to you before we started recording, but you just had Austin on January 22nd. The season is in full swing. You're kind of back. Give me the details. How are we feeling?
I feel so good. And I think it's probably because a few months prior to giving birth, I was in complete overwhelm, wondering how I was going to make everything work, you know, worried about labor and delivery, all of the things. So now that I'm in it, I'm just kind of waking up and doing it. And I think that's the best thing for me to do. I don't have time to overthink anything. It's just wake up, get going, do it, go to sleep, do it all over again. So it's going well. And I've been so supported by the Giants organization and obviously my family, friends, and even fans. So I feel like I can't fail right now, which is such an empowering feeling. And yeah, I'm kind of inching my way back into being with the team full time. So the team is currently on the road on the East Coast. So I just wasn't able to make that trip because it's just too long of a flight. And, you know, my little girl's got to eat every 3 hours or so. So I'm able to do a lot of work remotely, which I'm very grateful for. So I'm just very happy that I get to have this time and do a lot of the things that I love, which is working and baseball and being with my family.
I feel like I cannot fail. I wonder how many new moms can actually say a sentence like that. That's super powerful. Would you attribute that to your support system? Do you feel as though you've always had this kind of grace with yourself?
I definitely have not always had this type of grace with myself. I think in high school, I was so harsh on myself. I look back and I'm like, wow, I did not appreciate all that I was doing back then. And I was just so hard on myself. So as I've gotten older, I've just realized there's so much in this life you can't control. And as long as you are approaching life, controlling most of what you can control, like life's going to be pretty good and you're probably going to get rewarded. Obviously, like shit will hit the fan at times, but again, it does come back to the support system. So I've got a rock star of a husband who is just able to kind of read me better than I can read myself. So of course there are moments, especially like when we're at the field or something where I'm just like, oh boy, what's happening? He just takes Austin, goes into the family room or goes to the hotel, and we just are able to kind of meet and pass along food and that sort of thing. And he's just been such a champion of me really since the beginning. And my family has been great. My parents are always there for me. They when they were growing up, it was you go to school, you graduate, you get married, you have the job for the 40 years, you retire, that sort of thing. And my life has just looked nothing like that. So they've had a lot of patience when I come to them. I feel like every few years or so, like, okay, this is what I'm doing now. And then last year it was like, okay, we're pregnant, we're going to have a baby, and I'm going to still coach in the big leagues. So they have just been right there by my side, and they come to as many games as they can, and they're always there to take care of Austin if we need help. And then yes, the Giants organization has been really nothing but supportive for me. I started as an intern in 2014 there, and I just feel like I've grown up with the organization. And obviously there've been like some hard times and growing pains and that sort of thing. But again, I just feel a ton of respect. There's a lot of mutual respect there between me and the organization.
I mean, so much to double click on here. First and foremost, I'm sure I'll say this in the intro, but I feel like for those, just to reiterate, Alyssa is the first MLB female coach. She was also the first clearly pregnant coach in the MLB. And baseball and softball specifically have been a part of your life, as you said, for such a long time now. When you were playing growing up and then in college, did you foresee that you wanted to translate this passion into a career path in this way?
Not exactly. I knew that I wanted to stay in sport. I thought, you know, right when I was graduating college and done playing softball, it was like, okay, get a 9-to-5 job and do the adult thing. And I tried that for like 5 minutes and realized, okay, this is not for me. I need to be around a team. I need to go through the grind of a season and the ups and downs that come with it. That's just where I feel the most fulfilled. And so that's when I pursued a master's degree in sport management to just try to figure out, okay, what can I do? What type of career can I make out of sport? And then it was just like all these kind of like micro moments that sort of happened in this last decade that led me to the current role that I have now. It wasn't until I was going through the interview process for this job back in late 2019 that I realized it was a possibility. Because I never saw a female coach in Major League Baseball. And so, you know, the manager at the time, Gabe Kapler, I give, you know, really all the credit to, he could see this and he could see it in me that I could do this. It took me a while. It's still something I'm working on that I can do this. So again, that goes back to such a good support system, but also somebody that can, you know, like a true leader that can see something in somebody and really try to get them to maximize their potential.
Yeah. I mean, that's only one quality of a leader, right? Obviously, you are a leader both for your players on the field, but also off the field. That classic saying, in order to be her, you need to see her. For so many women, you are her. So what would you say are qualities or perhaps characteristics that you exhibit that make you proud to be a leader?
I cannot be anybody but myself. I think, you know, before the 2020 season started, so I had gotten hired at the start of 2020, and I was in a little bit of a disarray mentally, just again, like overthinking and anticipating, like, what are the guys going to say? What are the fans going to think? All this. And you know, we're always like our worst critics. And so then I just realized, like, I only know how to be me. So I'm just going to be me. And the manager at the time, he doubled down on that. He never asked me to be something that I wasn't. And then I realized, like, yeah, this is the only way that I can be effective for the team and this organization. And so I think that's really important in a leader. And especially like baseball players, well, really anybody, but because I'm around players every single day, they can just sniff out somebody that's being inauthentic. I feel like in the baseball world, there's a lot of people that come in trying to like put their stamp on things and kind of like truly make a name for themselves in a very inauthentic way. And the players can just kind of sniff that out. And I realized that very early on. And so I just really just show up like being me. And if people don't like it, that's fine. Like, I'm not trying to be liked by everybody. I'm trying to be as effective as I possibly can. So I think that's really important in a leader. I also think, I kind of mentioned this earlier, I think a leader really needs to understand how to help people bring out the best in themselves and truly maximize their potential. I think there's a lot of like, whether it's society or just ourselves putting limits on ourselves and what we can do. I think it's really important for leaders to have this like limitless outlook on whether it's their business, their team, or the people that they are leading. I think that's truly how you create change. That's how you create impact. And that's how you start to do things just outside of the box.
Limitless potential, authenticity. It's so impressive to me also because your attitude of all I can do is be the best I am as I am now and bring what I have to the table. I think a lot of people strive for that mindset. But oftentimes, even though no one's asking you to do things a certain way or be anything but yourself, it's this internal pressure that we find or that we struggle with or that we grapple with that makes us feel as though we're supposed to be doing something a different way or trying to level up or experiencing imposter syndrome and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think that's where like, find like whether it's habits or tools to just really get grounded with yourself, because there are so many days where I'm not very chill. I'm like overthinking. I'm definitely in the mindset of like, why me? What am I doing here? What's the value that I'm bringing? And I think that's just part of life. Like, it's just the waves that you go through. Women probably in particular, just like, depending on the time of the month, depending on like if your child has been crying for 3 days straight, all of that. But I think that's where it's really important to have some grounding practices and really come back to, okay, what can I bring to the table? What do I want to, you know, double down on and get better at or improve upon or expand in certain areas? And where can I find the confidence in myself? You can't always rely on the people around you to just be like, hey, yes, you can do anything you set your mind to. I think it's important to have like those cheerleaders on your side occasionally, but I truly think it's important that you have like a board of directors around you that are going to hold you accountable and really help you kind of like not settle and keep pushing, even in those moments that you want to just be like, oh, I can't do this. I'm going to just back down and like take this lateral path, which is totally fine. But I think it's important to have those people around you that are like, no, we think you can keep going this way. So do it. And then I think it's up to you to really find that within yourself. And it's very hard. Like, you're not going to just like wake up and look in the mirror and be like, I can do this. But if you keep doing that every single day, sometimes you'll just find like, oh, wait, I'm doing it. I knew I could.
Yeah. Putting in the reps, right? I love that idea of a board of directors. I firmly agree with you that everyone should have one. And you said the words habits and tools. So you know that I'm going to come back to you and ask you about what your habits and tools are that help you come back to yourself so that you can stand firm in who it is that you are and show up to the best of your ability day in and day out.
I think being strong mentally, emotionally, and physically is what is, it's the foundation for me going into every single day. So it really is kind of simple. I just really need to make sure I'm working out, getting in nature, breathing, filling my mind with like some good things, whether it's amazing podcasts or books or conversations with people that truly inspire me, but also humble me. So those are my tools. It's literally like, if I have 5 minutes, I'm going to do a 5 minute yoga or breath session. If I've got 30 minutes, I'm going to try to do a strength workout. I feel so good when my body and my mind are strong and clear. So it's really just kind of like the nature, like the natural things that humans should be doing, which is like get outside, make your food, be kind to others. And that just helps me feel okay. I can tackle whatever's going to come this like today. There's so much you can't control in the world and in life, especially in today's world, it feels like. But if you can control your foundation and set yourself up to be kind of that rock metaphorically, but also like literally, can you just be really, really strong? I feel like it helps you withstand kind of the shit storms that might come your way. And it really helps me just go into a clubhouse full of athletes every day. It just allows me to feel a little bit more confident.
I really thought you were going to say a clubhouse full of men, which probably also I would have interpreted to be quite difficult at times as well. But I really appreciate what you're saying. And again, it really is indicative of the work that you've done in yourself. I am curious to know how the putting your own oxygen mask on approach has ebbed and flowed and shifted since becoming a mom, because clearly this is a whole new thing in the equation, whereas these activities and the things that you did to ground yourself before may have felt a little bit easier to navigate than they do now.
Totally. So I think about that a lot. And obviously there's a lot more added layers to my day and my routine these days. But I think back to how like I viewed my mother as a child, and some of the most like vivid memories I have of being a child is like, we had a typically like a balanced meal daily, and my mom was moving and outside a lot. So, you know, she was waking up early and going on runs. And when I was old enough, I was able to ride my bike along with her. And then I just saw, and I didn't know it at the time, but when I reflect back on it now, I just saw like this woman really taking care of herself so that she could take care of the entire family. So she needed to just do that, or else the family wasn't going to thrive as much as, you know, she thought that we deserved to thrive. And so I really take that into account too, as now that I'm a mother, is okay, I want Austin to see her mom understand the importance of not just for herself taking care of her mind, body, spirit, but also it's helping her. She's reaping the benefits of me going outside for a 25 minute walk and then coming back feeling just like, okay, a little bit more clear-headed. On that 25-minute walk, I was able to kind of iron out, like, how am I going to make today work? And so I think that's really important. And again, I've just learned to ask for help more. I used to never ask for help. And some of the greatest advice that really stuck with me as we were approaching labor and delivery was just say yes to the help. It was really hard for me those first few weeks postpartum to, you know, say yes to somebody coming over and like putting our dishes away or like allowing them to just leave the house on their own and not walking them out. But I'm 3 months in now, and I've realized like when people are offering help, they want to help. So, you know, when I've got a friend in town who's like, let me take Austin for 20 minutes, I'm like, cool, this way I can go and do a yoga session and also take this call while I'm like in Shavasana. and so I don't know, it's chaotic, but I try to see and like pinpoint the times of the day where I can really make sure that I am doing something to take care of myself, because I want to be here for as long as I can for my daughter. And I understand the importance of really just treating your body and your mind right.
I love that. The importance of treating your body and your mind right. Now, you spoke about the individuals that you interviewed with that you felt like really gave you the opportunity to both be yourself and be such a game changer within the league, taking this first female coaching spot. With that said, how did it feel to step on and then be the first female coach? Because there's one thing to have the opportunity and to pave the way to step in the door, but it's another thing once you walk inside.
It was a lot, to be completely honest. A lot of it was internal though. You know, I realized like, okay, there's going to be a lot of noise. So I would just take my phone and put it face down and not listen to it and just try to stay, again, stay within myself. What is my job? Okay, I'm here to do the job. But then I also completely understood that I have a job and a responsibility outside of being a coach for this team because I'm the first female coach in this role. And so it took me a while to kind of, and I think I'm still like working through it, right? It's like fifth season doing this. And there's still at this time, like no other female coach at the big league level. So like, I have a lot of work to do to continue to try to, you know, break down some of these barriers, make this door open even wider, to get more women through the door. And so, you know, it was right in the moment. It was a lot, there was just a lot of layers to everything that was going on at the start of 2020. It was a brand new staff. You know, we had all of these expectations for our team that season. And then, oh yeah, by the way, like there's this historical element and historical nature to it all. So it's very humbling, and it's an honor that I hold dearly, but it's also a responsibility that I don't take lightly. And so, you know, with my counterparts, my other coaches, they come to work, they get the team ready to compete that night. They get to kind of go home with the families, shut it down. And for me, I've got this like other element in my mind constantly of like, okay, there are more doors that need to be opened. I need to be the leader that can help women see that they can do things that they might not be able to see yet, and help them get there. So I feel like that's like kind of a passion and a responsibility that goes far wider than the job description that I currently have now. But it's very exciting, but it was a little bit overwhelming, not in a negative way when I first walked in, but when I walked out for the first spring training workout, there was cameras everywhere. I was like, oh, I am not totally prepared for this. I've always kind of been a behind the scenes person, never like in the spotlight. And then it was like, oh, spotlight, here you are. But again, I just moved forward and did my job. I think it's really important that people see people in these kind of roles, like doing what they're hired to do and keep trying to move up and create impact, but also open the door for others to come through as well.
This is just such a classic example of just because she makes it look easy doesn't mean that the load is easy to carry, right? It's not an easy feat. So it's very understandable to me that you use a word like passion because you need passion to fuel a journey like that. For sure. You said, I flipped my phone around. At the time when you began, were you getting a lot of keyboard warriors giving their two cents about you taking this role?
Keyboard warriors. I love that so much. And yes, all of the things, even like past players and, you know, and then it's crazy because I can like see things and just be like, not, it doesn't mean anything. But it's like when other people see it and kind of light the fire in it and bring it to you, like, did you see this? How are you feeling? I start to take on their anxiety, and it's kind of like a contagious feeling to where I'm like, oh, maybe I should feel offended by this. But then I realize like people just like to talk and they want to share their thoughts, even if they're totally off the wall. And I also just don't care. when it's, you know, I care about a lot of people in this world and in my circle, but somebody that is going to just try to like rip other people down, like, I don't have time for you because there's only 24 hours in a day. And there's a lot of people ahead of you that need my time, effort, and energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, anytime there's any change, there's going to be a lot of noise around it. And what, again, like I can take it. I don't like lose sleep over what other people say. I'm, again, in my head, probably the worst critic, but I had to prepare my family for this. So, you know, my sweet mom, like, okay, mom, do not go on the internet for 48 hours minimum. And anytime like there's something big happening with me, just shut down the computer. She doesn't listen. So she reads stuff and then, but I can't control that either. So
yeah.
Yeah.
The grass grows where you water it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's easier said than done to say that I'm not going to give these things my attention, but one thing can cross your radar at the wrong time, and then it throws you off your game and you're incapable, or it feels that way anyway, to do the things that you want to do, to give the things that you want to give your attention to your full bandwidth. So again, entirely understandable, but it really does sound, what I'm hearing you say is you're really doing the best you can with what you have. Now, as you were getting started and getting really serious in this role, you know, there has been some time passed until you decided to have a family. So talk to me about the decision to have a family and how that made you feel considering your stance within the MLB.
It's something I've always wanted. I've always known I've wanted to be a mother, and it's something my husband has always wanted. He's always wanted to be a father, and we consider ourselves like really good teammates with each other. So how cool to like expand our team. So it's always been a thought of ours. The way my contract was in the past, I essentially was on a 3-year contract to start. I got extended for a year. And so, you know, 4 years ago. So we got married in 2021. And at that point, we're like, okay, you know, in 2023, give or take, like if we can start to think about having a kid or maybe be pregnant at that moment, we feel like that's a good timing and that sort of thing. And I just felt like kind of like settled, even though nothing about our lives right now are settled, in my mind, I just felt very settled and very ready. And I was kind of just ready for a shift. I feel like in my whole, my life, like I've worked off of increments of 4 years. Like you go to high school for 4 years. I played college softball for 4 years. You know, I went to grad school for 2, but was kind of like, working my way up in the organization for about 4 to 6 years. And then it was this four-year contract. So I'm like, well, it's about that time to start like throwing a wrench into everything. But there was no hesitation the moment that we decided to, you know, try for a family. It took us close to a year, but never once was it like, how are we going to make this work? Except for like a couple years prior, it's like, okay, we have to time it this way so that I can have the baby in the off season and then be back and ready to roll. And then you just realize like you're not totally in control with a lot of that. So it goes back to just giving yourself grace and understanding like you're going to make it work. And it's just been a really fun and exciting time. And we obviously got pregnant in 2023. So that was my fourth season with the team. So I've built some really good relationships with the staff at the time and the players. And so when you're big league coach, you are with a team far more than you're with your own family. So sometimes everybody in the clubhouse kind of feels like family. You're traveling through the middle of the night with them. You're going through the ups and downs of a season. You are spending, you know, 9 to 12 hours a day with them at a field. So when we got pregnant, the whole clubhouse was so excited for us. And I am so grateful for that because it just made it feel like, again, I can't fail here. And this is so cool to share in this. A lot of people are like, how's that going to work? I'm like, we'll figure it out. And they're like, cool. Yeah, you always do. And so it was really exciting. And I was quite sick for 19 weeks. So it was really nice to be around people that were just very respectful of me and there for me and able to understand if I was a little bit late to the field, like why I was late, and to have throw up bags available for me. But you know, a couple years ago, it was again, like, let's time this to where it's going to work. And then I think it was like May of 2022, when just a lot of like women's rights and reproductive rights were being talked about, I realized I cannot let baseball dictate my family goals. And we were trying, but with the game schedule and the road schedule, I mean, there's really only like a couple times you can really make it work. So it took us 11 months, but we just trusted, like, we're going to make this work. We've got a really good support system and organization is here to support us. Plus I have a lot of faith in myself that through really chaotic times, I can thrive and figure out what the next step is and what is right, not just for me, but for my family. And so, you know, my season looks far different right now. I was just thinking like, wow, a year ago, we were like leaving the Mexico City series and heading to Houston. And like, you know, you're with the team and you're going through that travel grind. And right now I'm not doing that, but I don't feel guilt around it. I feel really excited for the shift in what things look like right now. I was, you know, for four seasons in a role and loved it. And again, ready for like another challenge. So I think I gave myself the ultimate challenge, but I'm here for it.
Taking a break from today's episode to talk to you about my sponsor at Element. Healthy hydration isn't just about drinking water. It's about drinking water and electrolytes, which candidly, it makes sense. You lose both water and sodium when you sweat. Both need to be replaced to prevent muscle cramps, headaches, and energy dips. But most people only replace the water because since the 1940s, we've been told to drink 8 glasses of water per day, whether you're thirsty or not. Well, drinking beyond thirst is a bad idea. It dilutes blood electrolyte levels, especially sodium levels, which leads to things like headaches, low energy, cramps, confusion, or worse. And that, my friends, is where Element comes in. Element is an electrolyte drink mix that's got enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, artificial colors, or other dodgy ingredients to hold you back. You are also guaranteed to find an Element flavor that you love. I am head over heels for their watermelon and their grapefruit, but they've also got other fan favorites like citrus salt, raspberry salt, mango chili, or maybe even a chocolate salt if you're feeling a little frisky. Of course, Element is hooking you up because you're a Hurdle listener. Get a free sample pack with any drink mix purchase at drinkelement.com/hurdle. Again, that's drinkelement.com/hurdle. And a little bonus, if you are an Element insider, which means that you have purchased an insider bundle at any point within the last 9 months, then you have first access to their new Element Sparkling, which is a bold 16-ounce can of sparkling electrolyte water. It is literally dreams. It's what they're made of. I swear I had it for the first time this week and I am hooked. Again, for those of you that are just looking for drink mix, you can get a free sample with any drink mix purchase at drinkelement.com/hurdle, drinkelement.com/hurdle. And if you're an insider, grab yourself some Element Sparkling, available exclusive to insiders right now. I'm curious what the maternity leave policy was with the MLB, considering that they don't have any other female coaches.
It's been a lot. So the way it works, so as a coach, you're employed by your organization. So I'm technically an employee of the Giants. And the Giants maternity leave policy is really quite nice. Essentially, it's 18 weeks, and it's a mix of state disability, FMLA, and then a new baby bonding period. And you have 12 months to use that 18 weeks of leave. Again, like, hats off to the organization. They've been really supportive in allowing me to kind of like move through this without knowing exactly what I wanted at the start. So in the off season, you know, October, November, December, we were talking through all of this. It was like, well, I don't know when I'll be able to come back. I don't know if I'll be able to travel. I've never had a kid before. I know they have to eat a lot. And so what I asked for was flexibility. Can I please not commit to a certain amount of time off or a certain comeback date? And long story short, they said yes. So I took the 6 weeks to recover. My baby was born in January, 3 weeks early. But when she hit 6 weeks, my family and I, we traveled down to spring training. We were with the team for a while to kind of like test the waters of travel. And, you know, my husband and I like kind of role reversing, him taking her for the day and meeting me like by my locker so I could feed her every 3 hours. I was pumping in the dugout, all of this stuff. And so I realized, okay, we need to like ease ourselves back into this. There is really no benefit in me trying to come back full force because I'm not going to be the best coach I can be. And I definitely won't be the best mom I can be. And so this is just a long-winded answer to talk through the maternity leave policy. But right now I'm essentially kind of piecing it together. So even though the team's on the road, I'm still working remotely. But if I need to take like a week or something, I feel comfortable being like, okay, I'm going to take a week of leave in case, you know, something happens. And I have the 12 months to do that.
Wow. That's awesome. It's awesome that they were really there to support you and allow you to be flexible as you learned what was right for you and your family. Because as you said, it's not like you have all the answers. You've never done it before. Right. So here you are learning in real time and they're allowing you to learn alongside of them, which really mm-hmm. does show, again, that culture of really outstanding support. You said feed every 3 hours. Are we breastfeeding? What are we doing?
Yeah. So, you know, you go in and well, we went into like right before, well, we went into this whole pregnancy. I was like planning out everything. That's kind of how I work. And then just everything's like the universe, like, here you go. Here's a plan that you did not expect. So our goal is to exclusively breastfeed. She was born 3 weeks early because I was on the verge of preeclampsia. I'm not sure if you know what it is, but it's basically mm-hmm. like something you can get in pregnancy. It's telling everything like your organs could be failing. So she was healthy and fine the whole time. I was the issue. So I had to get induced 3 weeks early. She came out great. I was fine, I thought, but she wasn't latching. And they say because she didn't have the 3 extra weeks to like develop that sucking technique, like nursing was going to be hard, but I could still pump and breastfeed that way. So we were doing that. And in that first week, we were kind of getting closer to the nursing and the latching part. But then I did develop postpartum preeclampsia. So I was hospitalized for a bit. So it just threw a wrench in everything. So we attempt the nursing a few times a day. We're getting better, but I'm pumping around the clock. So at the start, it was 8 to 9 times a day. Wow. Now I'm like 6 times a day. So every 4 hours. And it's been a lot, but again, I've gotten into a pretty good rhythm and a good routine. So I feel very good and I feel very blessed that I can, you know, feed my baby. And it's been quite the journey to learn with her on like the nursing part. And each time it happens, it's like, yes, that's the thing for the day. Because it truly is a beautiful thing. But so yeah, it's a mixture of breastfeeding, but also we do have to supplement with formula because she's a growing girl and she's like her mommy and gets hangry. So make sure we've got something on deck. Even
I just have that imagery of you doing this in the dugout and the guys are just, you know, hanging out and you're hanging out and you're like, this is how we coexist now.
Exactly. And they love it. They're like, this is going to go in the book one day. I'm like, oh yes.
For sure. So as we start to wind down here, I do want to make sure that we find some time to talk about how it feels for you moving forward now. I know that we're still learning about what feels right for you and your family and your commitments and time allotment with the team. But as you are so passionate about furthering opportunities for women in sport, my question really is, what is it that you feel is within your power to help with those opportunities? Because it sounds like such a big topic, but it's such a big endeavor, right? But there have to be some more smaller tasks that you have your eye on to make these changes happen.
Yeah, totally. I think when you think about it, like, how can you open the door for women? And it's like, that's a very big question. So one, I think just doing it is helpful. And then kind of beyond that is really ensuring that women are understanding what opportunities are available. So that's what really helped me, right? I didn't see this job exist. However, I knew just in my heart and through journaling and through talking with others, like I knew what I kind of wanted my days to look like and the impact that I wanted and how I wanted to kind of feel and the type of work I wanted to do. I just couldn't put a job description to it. So what I do now is the Giants and I have a couple times in the last couple years put on a career in sport event at Oracle Park, the home of the Giants. And we invite local college softball teams to come and just learn about the different jobs there are in baseball. I had no idea. I had no idea you could have a career in sports when I was playing sports. I just didn't know you could like keep doing it. And so I think one, just awareness is really, really important. So I love those events because then I get to know and I get to meet these athletes and they are so excited about pursuing a career in sport. You know, because I can resonate with them. I played college softball and you go through that identity crisis when you graduate, like, who am I without softball? So it's been really fun to stay connected with these girls that are pursuing jobs in baseball and then also encouraging them to look at other jobs in other sports too. That's kind of the one big thing that I feel like does have a lot of impact. And I've been able to see it. Like I've been able to see women, like some of these college softball players, go out and get scouting jobs with the Red Sox, get jobs within our Giants organization, get baseball operations jobs with other teams. So that's been cool. And then they are starting to kind of like do it too and get into their communities and talk about the different career paths you can take in baseball specifically.
it's a domino effect, right? And it starts with one person to say, what if we try this? And it's just something that no one's happened to say before. There's so much value in the work that you're doing. We did chat a little bit before and joked a bit about the keyboard warrior. So many people, you know, they know you as this coach for the San Francisco Giants. But when you look in the mirror, what is it that you see looking back at you?
You see, like, just a very chill person that's trying to be very kind in a world that needs it. And I know that sounds quite cheesy, but it's simple. And I do feel like this world and our society tries to make so many simple things very complex. And then also, I just think like that's kind of insane. So it comes back to like, can we just be kind and chill? You know, now I look in the mirror, I'm like, I'm a mom, and that's the coolest. I knew I was going to like it. I didn't know I was going to like it this much. I love it so much. And I feel like coaching and really just my whole life, but especially these last 5 years, have prepped me for motherhood. And I'm so ever grateful for that. But yeah, identities and like identity, because growing up, it was like, I'm going to be a D1 college softball player. And then like you graduate and you're not that anymore. And like the world doesn't care, but you care. So I'm like, I never want to box myself into one thing ever again. And so I look in the mirror, I'm like, how can I be the most chill and the most kind today? And then take care of life's responsibilities.
We love that. We absolutely love that. How can I be the most chill and the most kind today? I'm going to start asking myself that in the mirror when I wake up in the morning. Super helpful. Well, I'm so glad that we were able to find this time to connect today. Two last questions before I let you go. You've been playing this sport for such a long time and now obviously within a different role within the Giants organization. When you think about the lessons that you've learned within sport that have carried you into the other aspects of your life, what would you say one of the most resounding through lines has been for you?
I think it's really important that you stay consistent in who you are and you keep your processes pretty constant and consistent, but allow them to adapt as necessary. I think in sport, especially as a coach, and I see it with other coaches, like you try to control so much. It's like, you're not the one on the field playing. How can you be the best facilitator of preparation? And it just comes back to controlling what you can control, because there's so much you can't. And so I think like growing up in sport, I learned a lot about time management and, you know, like getting your homework done and then being able to go to practice and getting good grades so that you could make the team and that sort of thing. And now, obviously, I still think like the time management skills you learn in sport it's great for your life. But I also think just the understanding the importance of being that consistent presence for your team, your clubhouse, your staff, your players is so important. And then it translates into life outside the field of just being that consistent person for your family and for the community.
Consistency is key. Putting in the reps has definitely been a through line in our conversation today. All right. As we end, a final question for you. Right now, you have an opportunity to offer yourself a piece of advice back when you were starting, flipping over the phone and trying to focus in on your career, doing something that no other woman had done before. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you offer yourself embarking on that hurdle?
I would tell myself to stay humble and stay hungry. I think I think humility is when it kind of comes naturally to me. I have like two really great best friends that I've had since I was born that have kept me humble my whole life. But I think it's also important that you stay hungry. So I'm going to be like humble and do my job, but I'm also going to keep looking to advance not just myself, but other women in sport, and also like strive to get a World Series ring this season.
We love it. We love some goal setting. And again, you're talking about your board of directors, something that I think a lot of people are going to walk away from this episode and ask themselves, who's on mine? Alyssa, I'm so happy that we were able to make this happen today. Tell us, if they don't follow along with you just yet, how can the hurdlers follow along with you? How can they keep up with with you, perhaps to join Giants organization. Give me the details.
So I'm not like super active on social media, meaning I'm not on it.
We see what happened here. There's definitely a through line.
I know. I do think that, you know, everyone should become a Giants fan and come out to games. And maybe one day I'll be like a little bit more public, but I love connecting with fans in person. So again, if you come to a game and want to chat, like I want to chat.
Head on down to the clubhouse. Yeah, I'm down. Over at Emily Abadi and at Hurdle Podcast. Another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.